I observe that our problem is a want of honesty in not a few cases with ourselves. We do not look sufficiently into our hearts. And another major problem is that we do not always want to come to a decision about our status. There are certain aspects of our religious practice which we, as it were, keep under consideration. Another aspect of the lives of many is that they are studiedly infrequent in their confessions, because they know when they go to confession they have to face up to the truth of themselves, whether they really are doing what they ought. It is not that they are such great sinners, it is that they really do not know. And they are not going to go to confession because in preparation for the confession they will have to look at themselves as they expect the priest to, and as they know God does. If they stay away from the confessional and do not pray much, they can continue to think of themselves as at least sufficiently pious, because, like the Pharisee, they carry out the externals. They come on Sunday. They may even faithfully or frequently receive communion. And they are very content with that, because who knows the difference?
I can drive
or who would dare say?
Lynch's car.
I guess you can say, therefore, that a practical approach to these comments is to ask all of you whether you need to go to confession and make a good confession, and whether you need to be certain before you come to the confessional that you are looking at yourselves honestly, as this publican had the courage and the humility to do. And when you come to the confessional, realize its power and its seriousness. Realize that you do not confess to the priest. He is only, as it were, a mirror for yourself. It is good for you to have someone to listen to it, so that you will not scrimp, so that you will not try to cut corners, so that you will have someone to ask questions if things are not clear. And with regard to confession, my dear people, let me exhort you very strongly not only to appreciate this sacrament, but to use it for all it's worth, for your soul's sake. When you come to the confessional, remember you're not saying anything that God does not already know. As I say, the priest is of no importance with respect to your pride, with respect to what your sins are. I mean by that, so you're telling him your sins is a bit embarrassing. Better now than at another time. So you don't enjoy having him know your sins. Well, priest would not enjoy your knowing his sins either. The main thing is to tell your sins as to God, knowing that God is going to forgive you in terms of the completeness and the earnestness of your contrition. And that is indicated by the completeness and the honesty with which you confess. I make one more comment. When you go to confession, be sure that the priest understands what your sins have been, Ordinarily, the priest does not want to trouble you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to help you make a good confession because that's his place. The priest is a different kind of person, ordinarily, in the confessional from what he is in the pulpit. In the confessional, he's supposed to be as gentle as Christ. He does not think of himself as so much as your judge, but as your commiserator. And the priest logically rejoices that you have received the grace to come and to empty out of your soul all your sins. But make sure that he understands what you have done. You don't need to give him interesting details, but you must tell things as they are. I have had individuals say to me, "I have done bad things." Well, haven't we all? That only rouses my curiosity. I presume that the person is saying I have done some kind of impure actions. But I don't know that. Maybe if it's a little boy who's done bad things, it means that he ate a piece of pie without permission. Or maybe it means that he came late for supper. You should be sure, as I say, that the priest knows what it is. I observe that it is particularly difficult for women to be completely open with regard to sins of the flesh. I say that with no individual in mind, but on the basis of my experience, I judge that women are more shamefaced about this particular breach of morality than are men. I would say, if you'll permit me, or if you won't, I would say that men often are greater sinners than women. But in the confessional, men are inclined to be more honest and more contrite. Possibly it is because of their particular psychology, and possibly it is because it is easier for a man to confess to a man. Regardless of that, women have to be just as honest, and they have to be just as complete in their confessions as do men. And therefore, they also are obligated for the sake of the completeness of the absolution. They have to tell things as they are. Lastly, with regard to holy purity, if you are guilty of the sin of contraception, be sure that you say that is the sin. It is not sufficient to say that you have been impure. You have to indicate that this is the sin, particularly. You have to say it in this case because contraception is not a sin of passion, which means that a person can easily decide whether he is going to do this particular sin again. And if he is going to, then he cannot get absolution. It is necessary, therefore, that the priest know that this is the sin that is being confessed, so that he can ask the question, if it needs to be asked, if he judges it ought to be asked, "Do you intend to commit this sin again?" And if the person does, well then of course the priest cannot give any absolution for any of the sins. All of this, obviously, my dear people, is for your soul's sake. The day will come when neither I nor any other priest will be around. It will be simply you and Christ. And then is when you will be very glad that you have told everything and gotten forgiveness for everything, then you will be one with Christ and you will be a joyful sinner, or let us say, a forgiven sinner, in the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost.